Blog Talk Radio.
Joining Neil Holland, our producer, Dorothy Gagnon, our webmaster, and my wife, and myself for episode number 32 of the Old Time Radio Show. Continuing in our series, The Greatest Recording Artists During the Eastern Years, we have selected songs rendered by Barbara Streisand, the golden voice, as some have called her. We have merged from Eastern files into the Eastern music, and we call it Eastern Airlines Music and History in our future broadcast every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We hope you will be in our listening audience as we spin the turntable of musical selections and of Eastern history. For the past few months, we've been playing the great songs from the Eastern Airlines era. During these broadcasts, we include what was happening at Eastern during those years. We've listened to the Big Band series, Rock and Roll series, and most recently, a series we call The Greatest Recording Artists During the Eastern Years. They're all archived, so you can return to the music of our Eastern years. While you're there, why not listen to the old-time radio series of the Big Bands? I'm sure you'll enjoy those. Now, before we listen to one of the voices from our first female artist, let's turn back to the greatest Eastern commercials ever.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referee the children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Barbara Streisand, the highest selling female recording artist of all time, has also won awards and acclaim for her work in film, television, and theater. We're happy to present this beautiful music from this artist. But first, here are some facts about the first female vocalist of radio show that has presented in our series of great recording artists during the Eastern years. Barbara Streisand was born on April 24, 1942, in Brooklyn, New York. She didn't attend college. Instead, she moved to Manhattan and worked as a cabaret singer. Her Broadway debut led to a recording contract and a long series of gold records. Over her career, she has mastered nearly every entertainment medium available and won numerous awards. Born Barbara Joan Streisand on April 24, 1942, in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to Diana Rosen and Emmanuel Streisand. Streisand's father was a high school English teacher who died from complications of an epileptic seizure when Barbara was only 15 months old. Excuse me. Her mother, Diana, raised Barbara and told her brother, Sheldon, by working as a secretary in New York City public school system, but the family barely survived the brink of poverty. They moved in with Barbara's grandparents to help make ends meet. Her mother then married in 1949 to a used car salesman, Louis Kind, while Streisand was away at camp. Her half-sister, Rosalind, was born in 1951. Streisand has described her childhood as painful. She was a shy child as a child and often felt rejected by other children because her looks were unusual. Additionally, she saw her stepfather as emotionally abusive. She also found no support from her mother, who thought her too unattractive to pursue her dreams of show business. As a child, Streisand attended Bias Yoga School, where she sang in the school choir. Following elementary school, Streisand was a student at Erasmus High School, where she met future collaborator Neil Diamond. Even before Barbara graduated from high school, she was traveling to New York City to study acting. At the age of 15, she met Anita and Alan Miller at the Cherry Lane Theater in Greenwich Village. Streisand negotiated a deal with the couple. She would babysit for their children in exchange for a scholarship to Alan's acting school. It was one of the two she simultaneously attended. She graduated from Erasmus High School in 1959 at the age of 16. She was fourth in her class. Now, Mr. Producer, let's hear one of Streisand's early recordings.
Person who needs people. person, one very special person, a feeling deep in your soul says you are half now your whole. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs me.
She moved to Manhattan in 1960 instead, months after graduating from high school. There, she shared apartments with several friends, including with actor Elliot Gould, who she wed in 1963. They were married for 8 years, and together they coupled had one child named Jason. While working office jobs and attending acting lessons, Streisand was encouraged to enter a talent night at a local club. She had never taken singing lessons before. The evening was a resounding success, and she soon embarked on a career as a cabaret singer, dropping the middle A from her name so that it would stand out. Her vibrant soprano soon won Streisand a local audience at local clubs, such as the Bonsoir and the Blue Angel. She claims that she had, however, had to recover from, she claimed that she had to learn to recover insecurity on stage by studying the flamboyance of the drag queens she met during this time. Still, Streisand, the infamous for having avoided live performances for nearly three decades due to a deliberate debilitating about on stage fright. I'll get that right eventually. She attributes the phobia to the concert in New York Central Park in 1967, during which she forgot the lyrics to one of the songs. And that does happen to a lot of people. Streisand made her major debut in Broadway show I Can Get It For You Wholesale in 1962. She won the New York Drama Critics Award and received a Tony nomination for her performance. The cast album for that show was her first studio recording. Streisand signed with Columbia Records that same year and released her first album, the Barbra Streisand album, in 1963. It became a top 10 gold record and received two Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year. At the time, she was the youngest artist to receive the honor. Despite three successful albums by early 1964, Streisand chose Broadway performances over live concerts. She appeared in shows Funny Girl for more than 2 years, which earned her a Tony Award nomination. The song People from that show became Streisand's first top single. Now let's listen.
Funny. Did you hear that? Funny. Yeah, the guy said, honey, you're a funny girl. That's me, I just keep them in stitches. doubled in half. And though I may be all wrong for the guy, I'm good for a laugh. I guess it's not funny. Life is far from sunny. When the laugh is over and the joke's on you, a girl ought to have a sense of humor. That's one thing you really need for sure.
Received 5 Emmy Awards, and CBS Television awarded Streisand a 10-year contract to produce a star in a movie and TV specials. Streisand was given complete artistic control of the next 4 network productions. Streisand reprised her role in Funny Girl in 1966 in London at the Prince of Wales Theatre. 2 years later, she made her big screen debut in the version of the play. In addition to winning the 1968 Academy Award for her performance, she won a Golden Globe and was named Star of the Year by the National Association of Theater Owners. After appearing in films Hello, Dolly, 1969, and On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, 1970, Streisand starred in the non-musical comedy The Owl and the Pussycat, 1970. The year 1972 brought another comedy, What's Up, Doc? The same year, Streisand found her own production company, Barwood Films, and starred in the company's first project, Up the Sandbox. The film became one of the first American movies to deal with the growing women's movement. In the 1970s, Barbara Streisand successfully married her film and musical interests together, first with her hit film, The Way We Were, which featured her number one single and earned her the 1973 Academy Award nomination for Best Actress. In 1976 came A Star Is Born, a film that Streisand produced. The project won 6 Golden Globes and offered Streisand her second number one single, Evergreen. Let's hear some more music. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. kind. Smiles were gave to one another for the way we were.
Collaborated with former high school choir mate Neil Diamond on the song You Don't Bring Me Flowers. The single went to number one, as did No More Tears, Enough is Enough, a dance recording sung with Donna Summer. But Streisand had her biggest selling album in 1980 with Guilty, which was written and produced by Barry Gibb and the Bee Gees and contained the number one hit Woman in Love. Though she read Isaac Bashevis, a singer's short story, Yentl, The Yeshiva Boy, shortly after her first film in 1968, was only after 15 years of perseverance that Streisand was able to bring the story to the screen. In her 1983 directorial debut, the film received 5 Academy Award nominations, and Streisand received Golden Globe Awards as both Best Director and Producer of the Best Picture Musical Comedy. The film also produced a top 10 soundtrack. In 1985, the Broadway album returned Barbra Streisand to the top of the charts. Continuing to integrate all of her talents, in 1987, Streisand followed up with Yentl and with Nuts. She not only starred in the film, but also produced and wrote the music for her second directorial outing in 1991. Streisand made the movie Prince of Tides, a story based on the Pat Conboy novel. The film garnered 7 Academy Award nominations and a nomination from the Directors Guild of America for her first direction, making her the only the third woman ever so honored. In 1996, Streisand tried her hand at direction again with the film The Mirror Has Two Faces. Can you bring our audience some flowers, Mr. Producer?
Thank you.
I love this song.
You don't sing me love songs.
You hardly talk to me anymore. When I come through the door at the end of the day,
I remember when you couldn't wait to love me. You used to hate to leave.
When it's good for you, babe, you're feeling all right.
Well, you just roll over and turn out the light. And you don't bring me flowers anymore.
It used to be so natural. Talk about forever. What used to be's don't count anymore. They just lay on the floor till we sweep them away.
Baby, I remember all the things you taught me.
I learned how to laugh and I learned how to cry.
Well, I learned.
So you think I could learn how to tell you goodbye?
You don't bring me flowers
anymore. You don't say you need me.
And you don't sing me love songs.
You don't bring me flowers
Two golden voices, yeah.
Yeah, they sure are. After a 27-year absence, Barbra Streisand returned to the concert stage in 1994. Her performance resulted in the top 10 million-selling album, The Concert. The tour itself generated over $10 million for charities, including AIDS organizations, Women and Children of Jeopardy, Jewish-Arab relations, and agencies working to improve relations between African-American and Jews. Streisand's philanthropy and activism also extends to her borrowed film production, such as The Long Island Incident, which inspired a national debate on gun control. Streisand is an outspoken Democrat and has used her talents and fame to support multiple candidates and causes, including Al Gore, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. Prior to her 27-year stage absence, Streisand devoted her unpaid live concert performances exclusively to benefit of the causes and supports. Her Barbra Streisand One Voice concert has to date channeled $7 million in profits to charities through the Streisand Foundation, which continues to occupy much of the artist's energy and resources. Most recently, Barbra Streisand recorded the 2000 album Timeless in a concert in Las Vegas show on New Year's Eve and released on both CD and DVD. A year later, a new holiday album, Christmas Memories, arrived. It was the artist's first full-length studio album since the 1999's A Love Like Ours, and a sequel to 1985's Broadway album, The Movie Album, appeared in 2003. In 2005, a deluxe CD/DVD reissue of the original Guilty was followed a month later by Guilty Pleasures, a new album that reunited Streisand with Barry Gibb. In 2006, she returned to the concert stage, documented in the 2007 live concert. In a long-awaited return to film, Streisand appeared in the 2006 Meet the Fockers. That was also with Robert De Niro in that one. And now let's listen to another beautiful song.
I look at you and there it is, the ultimate in where it is, and realize how rare it is, this finding your love. You try so many arms when you are lonely to find the one and only. One day you turn and he's there. Amazing. Exactly what we mean it is, and knew it would be when love like ours arrives. We go.
Another good one.
Yeah. Hard to beat.
It's just every one of them.
Streisand released the albums Love is the Answer, which reached gold medal status in the United States, and What Matters Most in 2009 and 2011, respectively. In the fall of 2012, Streisand announced the arrival of a new album, Release Me, a collection of unreleased material from several sessions over the course of her career. She followed in 2014 with Partners, an album of duets with a series of acclaimed male artists, including Stevie Wonder, Billy Joel, and John Legend. That is some heavy company. Streisand married for the second time on July 1, 1998, to actor James Brolin. Following their marriage, Streisand recorded an album of love songs entitled A Love Like Ours in 1999. The collection featured the hit duet If You Ever Leave Me with Vince Gill. The statistics of Barbara Streisand's achievement are staggering. She is credited for creating dozens of gold and platinum-selling albums and is regarded as the top-selling female artist of all time. Streisand has had number one albums in each of the last four decades, the greatest longevity for any solo recording artist. She is the second in all-time charts ahead of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and exceeded only by Elvis Presley. Streisand has sold approximately 250 million records worldwide and is the only artist to have earned honors from all major award institutions, including two Academy Awards, one Tony Award, five Emmys, 10 Grammys, 13 Golden Globes, a Cable Ace Award, the University of Georgia, Georgia's Foster Peabody Award, and the American Institute of Film Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2015, she was further honored as a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That is some resume. Well, Eastern, Neil, what have you got from the Eastern Files today for us? I think we lost our producer.
Your producer is right here.
Okay.
I'm meddling around with this producer's board here, and I'm getting myself in trouble. Well, you know, Don and Dorothy, during the Streisand years of beautiful music, Eastern Airlines was clicking right along until, of course, the late 80s when we had our problems and, of course, eventually shut down the airline. But we had a lot of folks that told a lot of stories about their times with Eastern Airlines. And one of those employees with Eastern is one of our hosts. And he is en route now from Martha's Vineyard back down to his winter headquarters of West Palm Beach. Boy, how nice it must be. But at any rate, Mr. Jim Hart, and he wrote some great articles that have both appeared in The Wings of Man and my little book, and I want to read that from the Eastern Files, and it's titled Eastern Tried In-Flight Entertainment Before Movies Came Along by Jim Hart. An Unusual Duty for a Sales Manager is a subtitle. And it reads, in mid-1963, of course, that's the year I was hired, when I was a sales manager in Washington, D.C., I was called upon to assist in a program of in-flight entertainment, along with six other young, outgoing, and energetic gentlemen. We were brought to New York home office, where the program was explained by Vice President of Sales, Bill Morissetti, and Director of Sales, Marvin Bird. We were directed to a beautiful shop in Midtown called After Six. There, there that I was outfitted with a soft shirt complete with studs, tuxedo trousers with a cummerbund, a bow tie, a seersucker jacket, and the shiniest pair of black shoes you ever saw. Given the title of Director of In-Flight Entertainment, wow, we were sent to our prospective places to begin our tour of unusual duty. Now, my duty station was Boston Logan Airport, and I had to be there at 6 p.m. each day during this time, this trial period. My flight was a DC-8 that left at 9 p.m. for Miami, and I was carrying a bingo board with holes in it to hold the balls and a briefcase loaded with gift certificates. At 7:30 p.m., a space near the boarding gate had been set aside for me to greet both passengers and those seeing them off and inviting them to enjoy cookies and punch before boarding. I told the passengers that they were in for a treat and a chance to win some fabulous prizes. At 8:45 p.m., most passengers were on board, and it was time for me to make my way to the aft station jump seat under which I could store my equipment. And then after takeoff and after the stewardesses had made their announcement, I introduced myself and explained that we were going to play bingo and that the stewardesses would pass out bingo cards for the passengers. The games began, and I awarded a certain prize depending on who won. Lord forbid that, as it happened with one of the other fellows, an 86-year-old lady won water ski lessons at Lee's Ski School on Biscayne Bay. The prizes were quite good. Dinner at the Bal Harbor Hotel, a two-day trip by boat to the Bahamas, including all meals for two, dinners at leading Miami Beach restaurants, and etc. One hectic event occurred when we hit some turbulence and all my bingo balls went flying off the board. All I could do was to continue calling numbers, knowing that I had sufficient prizes to give away, and in this situation, only four persons yelled bingo at the same time. We landed at Miami International Airport at about 11 p.m., and I checked into the airport hotel, leaving a call for 6 a.m. in order to catch my flight back north at 7. It was a DC-7, which stops in Palm Beach, which he says PBI, of course, that's the designation, Orlando, Jacksonville, Raleigh-Durham, Richmond, and Washington National, where I left the airplane to run home, kiss my wife, pat my dog, and prepare to board the air shuttle at 4 p.m. for Boston and begin it all over again. As a group, we were called to a meeting at the New York headquarters to critique our adventures, and it was a riot hearing of some of the situations encountered by the other fellows. The program lasted for 3 months. And would you believe, movies came along right after our program. On one of my return flights north, and while standing in line to board the flight, a person behind me asked if I was one of the social directors for Eastern. "Yes, can I help you?" I replied. "Yes," said the young couple. "We won the boat trip to the Bahamas." It was at that moment that I realized they were a honeymoon couple. I asked how they enjoyed the trip. They explained that when they went to catch the boat, it had been taken to dry dock for some sort of repair, so they never made it to the Bahamas. Oh, I took their name and address, and when I returned, I called the home office and told them the situation. And eventually, we sent them to Puerto Rico and paid for 2 nights in a hotel. This adventure showed that Eastern was trying to find methods to take the fear of flying off the minds of travelers. By the looks of the faces of those who took part in our in-flight games, it really worked. And that's the way Eastern was back in the day. It was innovative. It had so many different ideas, and I think they probably took some of the marketing ideas, like Jim explained, probably from other employees. Probably took them and put them into a program such as the one Jim was on. So that was quite an interesting story that Jim Hart told. Well, back to you, Don.
Well, Jim has a lot of stories. It'd be nice if he would come on sometime on Thursday and maybe tell one of them, but I know he's en route. Dorothy, what have you got coming up on Monday night for the EAL radio show?
Well, we're going to try to resume the Potpourri of Eastern Memories and Letters. Unfortunately, last week, we had a technical difficulty that canceled the entire broadcast, and, of course, the hosts were very nervous about it because we had such a great program. So we hope that everybody returns to us on Monday evening, October 7th, when we'll bring you Potpourri of Eastern Memories and Letters. It's a great show, following which we have Malaysia Flight MH370 mystery. And then after that, we have A History of Time, and that's going to be another very interesting show that Neil has gotten together. So join us for those. And remember, every Thursday, we'll be doing Eastern Airlines and Music and History. And next week, we'll have episode 33. So we can't wait to hear another Eastern Airlines Music and History program. We have a lot of things that we have going, and we keep those all on our website. So everyone, please make sure that you go to www.ealradioshow.com and look through some of the interesting things we have. There's a lot of nice, great testimonials from our Eastern people on different programs, and on the memories that they received in Neil's book, Wings of Many, when they donated, along with the beautiful model that they received as well. So we, too, want to mention that we extend our deepest gratitude for those people who have been so upset with the killing of with the crash that just happened on the B-17 yesterday. So we send our deepest thoughts and prayers, and we'll keep all of you in them. And so sorry that a lot of people have this tragic accident happen. So back to you, Neil and Don.
Well, thank you, Dorothy. And by the way, you do a
Don,
great job.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Neil.
Yeah, I've got a caller here from area code 804. I think it's up in the Richmond area, so I'm going to open that person's microphone and
sure.
See who we have. You know, we are having some microphone problems, and so I don't know if I can get that person. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
That's great.
Yes, I just came across your show. Very interesting. I have some sort of hidden history that ties into Eastern Airlines. I am currently 75. We used to vacation in Cuba, and I was there the year Castro overthrew Batista. My father was a pilot, multi-engine, all kinds of things. But he arranged for us to get out of Cuba on an emergency flight when Castro was overthrowing Batista. And the gentleman who arranged it was Len Povey, I believe, L-E-N-P-O-V-E-Y. My father introduced me to him in Fort Lauderdale the following year. At that time, Len Povey was the president of Mackey Airlines, which used to fly out of Fort Lauderdale over to the Bahamas. And I didn't know until a few years ago, Len Povey was one of the original American barnstormers who actually trained the Cuban Air Force under Batista and is responsible for an air maneuver done in air shows to this day called the Cuban 8. And Mackey Airlines was taken over by Eastern Airlines, and of course Eastern Airlines was taken over by the Trump shuttle.
That's true. I know Len Povey. I knew him.
Oh, is that right? Wow. Yeah, if I can share my name, I've had quite a bizarre life, and I'd love to help bring more
Please.
Attention. Because,
yes, what is your name?
My name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name, Charlson, is spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. And there's a big website, if you just Google three words, my last name, Charlson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, the word and, A-N-D, and then Trump. You'll see all kinds of documents and information on there. And going way back, too, there's other people that I knew through both my parents. And one was Dome Harwood, who was one of the original FAA inspectors, too, up in Long Island, New York. He eventually lived up in Francistown, New Hampshire, where my father had a big estate.
Well,
wow.
We certainly enjoyed you coming on air today, and we appreciate it. We're about out of time, but I hope you'll come back and visit with us again and perhaps share some more Eastern stories. If
yeah,
you have
you're welcome
them.
To call me if you have my number. I don't do the email.
I sure do.
Thing.
I'm looking at it.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
I'm looking at it right now, and I've
yeah,
got it
I'm
now.
Yeah, I'm looking to get good information out because a lot of pilots have excellent experience in things, and that's what's needed to tamp down the chaos. And, you know, they know how to control themselves in an emergency and stuff, too. And we need a lot more of that to come out to stop all the craziness in the world.
Now, your website is Charlson and Trump, T-R-U-M-P?
Well, that's three words to Google. It's not the actual website, but
oh.
We'll bring you to a page on the website. The actual website is www.charlson.com. Rooting, R-O-O-T-I-N-G, out, O-U-T, corruption, C-O-R-R-U-P-T-I-O-N, .weebly.com. And, oh, I have to mention, related to Eastern Airlines, too, a lot of Marriott hot shops, my father's refrigerators. My last name, Charlson, has global recognition. In the
right, well, that's what
deal.
I'm picking up now. I'm picking up the Charlson refrigeration.
Right. Yeah,
so
through both my parents, I had all kinds of life experiences growing up because my mother was a supermodel, and I believe she got my father started with some of her contacts, and I even grew up playing at times with Sigourney Weaver. I have that on another page to the actress.
Okay, very good. I appreciate it. We're about out of time, Dorothy, so
oh,
we might
okay.
– Don, you might take back and sign us out of here. We've got a great song that we discovered last show that we had, and we're going to play that as our bumper closing music. So, Don, take us out of here.
Okay, Neil. That is our show for today, folks, and we hope you enjoyed the artists that we've been playing for you from the greatest recording artists during the Eastern Series. Make sure you join us next Thursday when we reselect another great singer of his or her songs, along with a little Eastern sprinkled in. Don't forget, our microphones are always open to callers to join us, as they did today, on Monday, October 7th, with memories and stories about our favorite airline, the one we call family and shared. Keeping our Eastern family informed is of the greatest importance to this radio show. Do you have a story or memory you'd like to share with our Eastern family? If so, we certainly want to hear from you. The Eastern Radio Show would like to broadcast it during one of our shows, either you sharing your memory live or during our broadcast, or send it to us, and we'll broadcast your story on the air. You can send your request to host@ealradioshow.com, and we'll tell you what you need to do to have it heard on the show. Well, for now, this is Don Gagnon, and on behalf of our producer, Neil Holland, and my lovely wife, Dorothy, we sign off, as we do after each broadcast, by saying, so long, Eastern family. Thanks for listening. We love you, Eastern.
We love you, Eastern.
And we love you, Eastern.
Here's a new sign-off song that we discovered last week, and we hope you'll enjoy it. Go ahead, Neil. Great show.
Thanks very much.
Silver wings shining in the sun. flag. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wing, slowly fading out of sight.
I'm playing the line.
Don't leave me, I cry. Don't take that airplane ride. But you locked me out of your mind and left me standing here behind. Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wing, slowly fading out of sight.
This song, don't you, Don, Dorothy?
Silver
wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in black.
It is.
They're taking you away. Leaving me lonely. Silver wings, slowly fading out of sight. Slowly fading out of sight.
Good show, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Neil.
It was great.
Yeah.
Take care, Neil. Good show.
Okay. See ya.
Bye-bye, Hugh.